For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got to upgrade the offensive line, and you're paying the guy $40 million. It's not to hand the ball off to a $12 million back. My plan is to address the offensive line at some point here in free agency. We're sitting at six. There's a chance there's an offensive weapon there. This is the year for Daniel. Plan all along was give him a couple years. Is he our guy for the next 10 years, or do we need to pivot and, you know, find somebody else?
Joe Shane, now the general manager of the New York Giants, former Bills assistant GM. Is he in a conversation with the team owner in that scene?
No, that's more of like the front office, like his staff. There were some directors of player personnel and stuff like that.
There's another scene where he's with John Mara. I do not have the channel on which this show airs, but lots of talk about it today. The Barkley point, some of it seemed almost like it was for the cameras. And then sometimes this shows like this make you wonder why they even do it. Just, it's sort of ironic how completely secretive football is, how paranoid, you know, the Bills, all these years, teams are. Like, what would happen if Sal got to watch 10 minutes of stretching instead of eight, right? Like, just the one time something got out that they thought cost them an advantage in a game, like, that's it. We can't. I mean, they allow some media access. I can't say, can't go all the way here, but it's just like that's the vibe. And here you've got, like, here's a show where we're just going to talk openly about who's worth the money and who's not. There was one thing in here about how they didn't think one Giants personnel person, how do you like that, thought Christian Wilkins wasn't worth investing in, even though his friend, he tried to recruit him to the Giants. Was it, who's the lineman who's also great up front, Dexter Lawrence, said it was, who's friends with Wilkins, and there was a Giants guy who was like, yeah, he doesn't get pressures on third down, and then every stat site was like, yeah, actually, stuff like that is just embarrassing, you know? Of course, front offices, it's scout-laden, and most of these scouts, I think, maybe this has changed, I want to say, are just not here for what Sports Info Solutions tells them. You know, it's a little bit, maybe, it's definitely a stereotype. I mean, it's the Moneyball stereotype. But you go talking like that as it's fact, and then the facts completely refute your point. I mean, that should be fireable. If the Giants didn't sign Christian Wilkins because somebody told them that he wasn't good enough on third down, and every bit of evidence says completely the opposite, what use do you have for that guy? He might have held you back from having an elite pass rusher in your lap that might have wanted to play for you. I mean, you can't have that. The Giants do have that. The Giants have not exactly been, you know, a winning franchise for a long time. Maybe that's not an accident. I like the ideas of these shows. I always like talking about running back value, too. You know, the Barkley point is fine. The Giants, in my opinion, should never have wanted to pay Barkley that contract, nor should the Eagles. But it was interesting. And by the way, Jalen Hurts makes a lot more than Daniel Jones, and they found a way to do it. And they have been a winning franchise. Interesting moment here in the NFL, though, with running backs and money. And I don't know how it evolves, because it really was one way for several years. Just how many second contracts looked like mistakes, like Zeke for one with Dallas, and why would you pay these guys? Gurley, what happened to him with the Rams? And it just seemed that everybody figured out not to draft them in the first round, not to pay them second contracts. Then this year, A lot of them did great, including Barkley, maybe as well as anybody. DeAndre Swift, Barkley, Joe Mixon was being released by the Bengals on the deadline day. Adam Schefter tweeted it, which means they all did within 2 seconds. They all got the green light at the same time. That's how that works. That Joe Mixon was being released by the Bengals. And then there was a correction that he wasn't. He was actually being traded to Houston. Okay, fine. Well, Houston wanted to get a jump on it, so they're going to give up some low draft pick. But then they gave him a new contract, bidding against nobody. So there was some running back thirst this offseason. Stevenson with the Patriots, not a free agent, but he got an extension. And there were other examples. And so I think you have with football the outsized, maybe to understate it, importance of the quarterback. Everybody wants their edge rushers. Everybody wants their corners, the shutdown corners, maybe left tackle. Certain positions still rate wide receiver. We've seen tons of money go to wide receivers this year. But in bulk, I think, you know, you take data and it can be easy to discount, I mean, starting players on the field, running backs, off-ball linebackers, interior linemen. We really don't need to spend on these guys. And with football being so wealthy, well, what are you going to do with the money? What are you going to do with the cap room? You might as well spend it. So I don't think the Eagles signing Barkley, the Ravens and Derrick Henry I didn't mention, I don't think these were egregious. Aaron Jones, Josh Jacobs, man, there really was a list as I think about it some more. You had running backs that you might think are mostly kind of at the end of the line get pretty good term and dollars from new teams this year. Jacobs with the Packers, 2 years, it's so tough to really pin down. 2 years ago, with the Raiders, 2022, Josh Jacobs was a star. His football card stats, his advanced stuff, I mean, not to the same extent maybe, but he was a fantasy league winner. Josh Jacobs with the Raiders in 2022, with Carr there for most of it, was big time. Last year, eventually a new coach, different quarterback, he was terrible. Like, he went from good to great to terrible. It sounds like, you know, goalies, where this, although he is a year older and he's closer, you know, goalies can happen when they go from 23 to 24. For a running back, this is near the end of your career. But still, like, it's just so, it fluctuates like that. The Packers go and pay up for Josh Jacobs. Okay, they wanted him over Aaron Jones. I don't think he was better than Aaron Jones, but that's what they did. They've made a lot of good decisions. They go to Jacobs, and then they draft Marshawn Lloyd, I think in the third round, to complement with Jacobs. And it ends up, and this is the way they talk too. The Packers, Matt LaFleur seems pretty believable when it comes to his plans. And he had this with Jones and A.J. Dillon, like a split backfield. He's talking like that's what they're about. That's what they want to do, which really can make you question what Jacobs got money-wise. Is he even good? He's going to be a complimentary back, or at least, you know, part of a committee, probably. Why do it? It's not enough to just say you got to pay somebody, though. Like in the Hard Knocks show, I read this, how Shane was talking about with Barkley, with respect to Barkley, the age cliff, 27. Didn't he say like, why pay anybody at 27? Like, why do that? That's what he did, though. Like, that's what he did with Singletary. The move for the Giants, the move for a lot of these teams would be you want to dabble in free agency, okay, and maybe you have to settle sometimes. Maybe that's what the Giants did. They know Singletary from being here because they were here when Dable and Shane were here when he was. So they know him, and he wasn't super expensive. But I just love the idea of round four up. Round four, Saturday, is you can draft a running back on Saturday that should matter. Even draft a couple if you have extra picks. I like that. They have to be able to block and acclimate quickly, and those things are no given, and that's what will hold a lot of these rookies back. There are lots of these guys this year, and maybe it's too much to say you would just sort of like bank on them. But what I would want to do for my team is give those guys a serious chance to make it. And interesting, like how the Bills, what the Bills are right now with Ray Davis, who was a fourth-round pick, and I think a likable prospect in college football. He's older. That was one sort of, and not exactly a breakaway threat. All right, so there are reasons why he wasn't picked earlier. Not just being a running back, beyond just being a running back. So he's not everybody's cup of tea, but I mean, he was a good player. And with what the Bills didn't do at the position, I think most of us are out here thinking that Davis is going to be, you know, if not important, relevant in their offense. And, you know, Cook is, it's not unanimous, just like sort of what Cook's ceiling is. You know, he was pretty steady. He does have some explosiveness. He did drop the ball in the passing game. You know, he is undersized. They really don't need him in goal line situations. Maybe that'll be Davis. Maybe Josh Allen will run for 20 touchdowns this year. That all remains to be seen. It's a very interesting and curious year for them. Running backs are a part of that. Almost the entire defense is a part of that. And, of course, wide receivers. I've got an idea I mostly like for 5 o'clock when it comes to the wide receivers. So stay tuned for that if you're interested. 803-0550 is the number here if you have a comment on the Hard Knock Show or what the Bills backfield might end up looking like. This is Mike Shope. Happy 4th, and thanks for being with us here on WGR.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.